From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. It's been 3 days now since the whistleblower website WikiLeaks released a massive collection of secret documents related to the Iraq War, nearly 400,000 in all. It's still unclear what, if anything, they mean for our understanding of the war, whether they clarify or further complicate things. We're going to hear now about reaction to the documents inside Iraq. There, most of the attention has so far focused on allegations of wrongdoing by Iraqi officials. As NPR's Kelly McEvers reports, Iraqis are also beginning to wonder if the documents may answer some long, unresolved questions.
The documents are actually these things called SIGACs, which is military speak for significant actions. Much like a police report, a SIGAC is keyed into a computer right after a violent incident. Many SIGACs are no longer than a paragraph. After U.S. soldiers responded to reports of a robbery in a Sunni neighborhood of Baghdad in October 2006, the SIGACT read like this.
Patrol stops pickup truck occupied by 17 local nationals in Iraqi army uniforms, orders detention of all 17 individuals.
Sounds straightforward, but then there's this interesting line.
Detainees claim to be Iraqi special forces working for the prime minister's office.
At the time, Iraq was in the middle of a bloody sectarian war. It was widely believed that members of the Shiite-dominated government of Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki controlled violent gangs that targeted rivals in Sunni neighborhoods. Allegations like these are the main focus of the WikiLeaks news coverage here in Iraq, where Maliki is still the prime minister. On this news talk show, a Maliki spokesman says the prime minister's political opponents are just looking for ways to shame him. Other officials have gone so far as to say the documents were faked by using Photoshop. The documents do offer countless reports of abuse and torture of Iraqi detainees by Iraqi soldiers and police. Iraqi officials have vowed to investigate, but they also say most of the cases are old. Many Iraqis say torture is still a regular part of life. This soldier, who didn't want to give his name for fear of losing his job, says 2 months ago he watched as nearly 20 soldiers brutally beat an insurgent who'd confessed to booby-trapping a house and killing 8 Iraqi troops.
It started with just slapping him on the face and punching him, and he fell on the ground, and they started beating him or kicking him with their boots, smashing his ribs.
And smashing his face. It only took minutes for the suspect to die. Another officer confirmed the insurgent was killed by Iraqi soldiers, but denied he was beaten. Either way, with abuse like this still common, many Iraqis' reactions to the WikiLeaks documents has been, so what? Torture, death? This is nothing new. Others say it's important to have a record.
So yeah, tell us your name, Isma.
Yeah.
Sajjad.
And?
Dua.
These two children survived an attack by an American helicopter that appeared in two SIGACs back in 2007. Their father did not survive. He'd stopped his van to help two wounded Iraqi journalists, who later died.
Come on, fire!
The attack was captured on this military video and released by WikiLeaks earlier this year. The children's uncle, Sattar Umtashar Tuman, says it's important to finally know what happened that day.
For me, of course, I would say it's something very good because I would see my brother in the accident and I would feel okay, relieved whenever seeing the video. I would know the truth.
The truth is something many Iraqis are still searching for. The wife who went missing, the son whose body was never found. These new documents might hold some answers. For now, WikiLeaks has redacted all names from the SIGAC database that's available online. But news outlets were given the full database, and some names are beginning to trickle out. Saad Iskander heads the Iraqi National Archive. He's trying to convince the U.S. government to release another trove of documents. These detail atrocities during the Saddam Hussein era. Iskander says much of this database would be accessible to Iraqi academics and lawyers, but not to average people. He says while people have the right to know what happened to their relatives, how they might act on information from the Saddam data or the WikiLeaks data could be dangerous.
If these records mention names of those who killed
or the name of this battalion, of this army units, or the police. This will lead to social chaos. We don't want this.
As one Iraqi friend put it, in our country, we don't sue someone when we feel like we've been wronged. We take revenge. Kelly McEvers, NPR News, Baghdad.